The following is a paid commercial program. The views, opinions, and advice presented are that of the host and guests and do not represent any guarantee of results or represent the opinions of the staff and management of 107.1 The Peak. Mahoney Asset Management presents A GPS for Your Finances, hosted by their president and CEO, Ken Mahoney, with his son, Connor Mahoney. Ken is a Hudson Valley resident and businessman with over 35 years of experience in retirement planning, the investing markets, investing strategies, and more. Every Sunday morning, Ken and Connor present this show to help you navigate today's complicated financial landscape, to make it easier for you to understand, and they answer your questions. Now, here's Ken and Connor Mahoney with A GPS for Your Finances.
Welcome to another edition of A GPS for Your Finances. I'm your co-host, Ken Mahoney, along with my son, Connor Mahoney, both of Mahoney Asset Management. But every Sunday morning, right here in Westchester and Hudson Valley, on 107.1 The Peak. It's where Generation X meets Generation Z with questions and answers. Your questions and our answers. We cultivate these questions throughout the week from clients, prospective clients, and through administrative staff. And if you have a certain question, someone else may have the same question. Throughout the show, our goal is to simplify this complex financial world around us. And for sure, we have a lot of questions to cover this week, but more importantly, we have to ask Connor a question. What were you doing in Italy?
I was having a grand old time, and I
grand old time.
I'm sorry,
a grand old time.
A grand old time. Yes, and I also got engaged, which is very exciting.
Hey,
news, obviously,
awesome.
To my longtime girlfriend Brinkley from college. We were dating since 2018, sophomores in college. So that was pretty exciting.
I know you guys are great together.
Had a really cool backdrop. I had planned it for months. I talked to a photographer for a really long time. I think she had a pretty good idea. It was coming though. Kind of been going that direction. And
it happened on her birthday too, right?
That's right. That wasn't on purpose though, because the Tour de France was happening on Saturday. I was going to do it the day after birthday, but they said that the streets would be really hard to navigate and you couldn't get around. So I was like, oh, looks like it's going to fall on her birthday, which is your birthday too.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
You guys
have the same birthday.
No, it's so exciting. We're so happy.
And then yeah, we were in Florence for a while, which we loved. Second time there, Lake Como, beautiful, and then Milan, and then home.
Awesome. Awesome. So happy for you and best of luck and health. Before we go into our questions, one other thing, you know, there's a tradition. I said to Connor, the tradition is that you go to the father, you know, of the bride and say, you know, can I have your hand in marriage and ask first, you know, and that's a tradition. I said, Connor, did you do that? So can you tell a little story about that? That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I did do that. And it's funny because he said to me that once we got through COVID and didn't break up, living together in close quarters for so long or so many months or a year or whatever, that he knew we were good.
That is great. I'm sure for your listening audience, some couples look at each other like, we made it through COVID, we're good. So I thought that was a really great story you told me about her dad. Mm-hmm. And you know, kind of, you know, hey, how do you, you know, hand in marriage? Kind of, and then said, yeah, well, of course, yeah. You made it through COVID, I make it through
exactly.
Anything. Exactly.
Living so
on
you're
top
good.
Of each other. That's fine. All right. Great, great stuff. So happy to hear that. And picture was on a newsletter. If you want to see more about this,
go to
GPS.com. Archive newsletters are there. And we had a lot of clients coming in and emailing us and congratulating Connor. So we congratulate you here this morning as well.
Yeah, it's been
so
a fun few weeks.
Let's jump into the questions we have this week. Very busy week. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And the reason being is because earnings have starting with the banks last Friday. And so they're coming out every day now. So the first question is, why are quarterly earnings so important for the market?
Right. So the banks already did their thing last week. JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, all lifted pretty nicely from their earnings. And you know, when a company has good earnings, revenue, a lot of good things happen for shareholders, one of which is buying back stock. If you recall, Apple did a $110 billion buyback. Meta, which owns Instagram and Facebook, did a $50 billion. So takes shares out of the place, that kind of supply and demand. Also, some of these same companies with strong revenues can increase their dividends. Some do both. A lot of good things happen. So look, there's a lot of awful headlines. Gosh, you can't even keep up with everything that's happening, swirling around us in this crazy presidential election year as well. But at the end of the day, you want to find those companies that have good growth. Now, again, they could be, they've had consistent growth. There may be a catalyst, something that's new with the company. By the way, when I give an example like Eli Lilly, I'm not telling you to go out and buy it, but Eli Lilly started coming out with these weight loss drugs and the revenue started going up. And then all of a sudden shareholders started saying, wow, we're going to start getting bigger dividends and so forth. So, you know, find those companies that are growing their revenue, because most of the time the revenues are growing and the price of the stock's going to grow along with it.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's the earnings are the way you kind of value a stock. And we always remind people that the market is so forward looking, probably looking 6 to 12 months in advance. And one thing we learned in finance school, I might mess this up because I have to remember it. I think it talks about the market discounting the future value of money back to the present is basically what is going on. That's how stocks are priced. It's future growth and stuff like that. And that's the one time we find out, are they going to have future growth? And then the market will react accordingly based on that information we're getting about future quarters. So that's kind of how that one works.
You did very well. That was Quinnipiac. They taught you well. You had a really good mentor there. I remember you told me about that. And not just that.
Professor
Wang. Your dad being a mentor. But
he's like a mega genius. We should have hired him or something.
What was his last name?
Extremely smart. Professor Wang.
Yeah. Professor Wang. I had Professor Ritzkobe. Unfortunately, passed away a number of years ago. He used to be a guest on a show, an economist at a Pace University, Mercy College graduate. God, these professors, they are great when they know it. So, yeah, so a lot has come down to earnings. And a lot of times there are headlines. And by the way, these headlines, let's not even get into them. But a lot of times I take the headline and say, is that going to impact earnings? No. Okay, this is an awful headline. Will this impact earnings? No. This headline, will this impact earnings? Yes. Okay, so let's kind of drill down on that. So, again, these companies that, generally speaking, have strong revenue, they're not one-offs. Typically, when you find a group of companies with strong revenues, they come out of the same industry. And Connor, I know you know a lot about William O'Neill, and one of the first books I gave you, How to Make Money in Stocks. So share the listening audience a little bit about, you know, about sectors and those companies that have strong revenues in those sectors.
Sure. I just want to expand on one thing you just said. I found that really interesting. A lot of, I'll say, newbies will be like, okay, so Microsoft owes some back taxes. It's like a couple of $1 billion or whatever the case. And people will be like, oh my God, the stock's going to crash because of that. Or they'll think that this news is extremely important. And then it comes back to that question, like, oh, does this really affect their earnings that much? And it sounds crazy. It sounds like a lot of money. Or you'll hear stuff about, you'll hear so many things about companies, like negative press. But unless it's really impacting the earnings for this quarter or next quarter, in any way, you probably might not even, the stock kind of just shrugs a lot of news off a lot of the time, which I just think that's a really interesting
discount mechanism, as you said. It'll be back right after these messages.
If you're approaching retirement or have recently done so, you're probably realizing that retirement plans today can be very different from what you might remember when your parents retired. Things were more simple then, but you put in your years, received your pension, most likely have health care, add in Social Security, and all those combined usually made for a comfortable life. But maybe you could do better. I would suggest you call for Ken Mahoney's book, Not Your Father's Retirement. It's a great resource for long-term planning. To get yours, call 845-371-0101. Today's pension have been disappearing from companies faster than ever, along with other benefits people once could rely on. Ken's book, Not Your Father's Retirement, addresses this new reality we'll all face eventually. Ken will show you how to plan for your future using today's retirement vehicles like 401ks and IRAs. Retirement takes more planning and preparation today than any other time in the past, and his book will show you how to get it done right. Call 845-371-0101. The first 20 callers get it for free right now. That's 845-371-0101 to get Ken Mahoney's book, Not Your Father's Retirement.
Welcome back to GPS for Finances. Today's topic is your questions and our answers. But before we go there, you heard from our friend Jimmy Fink speak about the book, Not Your Father's Retirement. You should listen to him. Oh, and Jimmy, well, he's a rock star from the WPLJ days. So the first 20 calls will get that book for free, Not Your Father's Retirement. Get your pen and paper together. Here we go. 845-371-0101. We think it's a perfect companion to what we do here every Sunday morning. Sometimes you could join us, sometimes you can't. All that information is available right there in that book, Not Your Father's Retirement. Now you can get it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon for $17.99, but the early bird, that's you, can get the book for free by right now. Here we go. 845-371-0101. One more time for the book. 845-371-0101. Or go to the website, MahoneyGPS.com. You could download the book there, or we could send you the free paperback. And of course, I give you the Peak Hudson Valley Index Report every morning. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You hear from me. And then on the way home on your day, Bill Kugel. You'll hear him, of course, that nice Southern accent. He'll tell you national business news, what the indexes did or what they didn't do. That's the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Local business news and what the Hudson Valley Index did. We create all that for you. All that information is at Mahoney.com. GPS.com. Common spelling, M-A-H-O-N-E-Y, GPS. MahoneyGPS.com. I was on TV the past couple of weeks, quite frequently, by the way. All those are archived right there. I contribute to a number of articles on Bloomberg, Fox Business, and many more, even USA Today a couple of weeks ago. So all that information, educational article, and our newsletters archived there. And I encourage you to go to our website, MahoneyGPS.com. Follow along with us on the newsletter. Comes out every Tuesday evening. We don't inundate you with 9 of these a day. Just once again, listen, it's a holiday. Tuesday evening, you'll get your newsletter for free. MahoneyGPS.com. Again, all that information, archived radio shows, TV, educational articles, newsletters, everything you can find, everything we have, we put it up there on our website for you to educate you. MahoneyGPS.com. Okay, reach into your bag of tricks, Connor. You have some tricks there. And okay, let's see what question you have.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So are the Fed really going to cut rates in September? And how may the market react around that?
So I think it's kind of priced in. There's something called Fed Fund Futures Rate. Say that five times fast, Connor, or for listeners.
Fed Fund.
Okay. And what it says is about like, what, 93? You know better than I do. What, 93% chance?
Yeah, 94% chance.
Oh, 94%. So it's pretty close. So yeah, I think that's pretty high odds for anything in life to have 94% of something. So 94% of chance they're going to start their cutting campaign. I say campaign because just the opposite. When they started raising rates some time ago, 11 times in a row, it's a campaign. It's not like a light switch you put on and put off type of thing. Now, the meaning behind this is to try to, you know, get out in front of it. The economy's slowing down, to start cutting rates. That rates have been somewhat restrictive in their own language. What it means for some stocks, it's not as important. Again, for smaller companies, yes, because they finance a lot. But for bigger companies, especially right, the ones that we track, you know, the Apple, Microsoft, NVIDIA, those big numbers, it doesn't really matter a quarter point. There's a lot of to do around this, meaning that's all you hear ad nauseum, is the Fed going to cut? There's a lot more things going on in the world than the Fed cut rates, not cut, but this is where we are. I mean, what's your take on this Federal Reserve September meeting and the first cut of a campaign?
Yeah, I like what you said about the smaller companies. It does matter much more to them, and that's kind of why they had gone up the last week or so. It's because they're going to finally cut rates and they'll have lower financing rates on their debt because they need all that debt to operate. It doesn't really affect the bigger companies as much who are you know, firing on all cylinders and able to extract revenue however they need to. This is something we talk about sometimes, is they're able to, you know, add $1 or $3 to their subscription, say it's Amazon or Spotify or some of these bigger ones, Netflix. They just add a few dollars to the subscription costs and they have hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue right there. Right. And rates don't matter. Rates, it doesn't matter what
right, you have a billion are. Subscribers and you add another $5 on it. I mean, for instance, Apple has 2.2 billion devices. And they said to me when I log on, hey, $5 extra a month to have some type of add-on cloud thing, backup thing. Fine, $5, who cares? But on 2.2 billion, oh, that's an extra $10 billion a month.
That's completely crazy. So
it's just the leverage of that relationship.
Yeah, the leverage, exactly. So the rates, of course, they matter. And I think the market is already, it's so ahead of rates. I think even last October when this market rally really started cooking, higher than I guess even we could have imagined at this point. It just was historical at the end of the year last year and into this year. It was because they were finally said, hey, we're done raising rates, which then the market said, oh, well, if you're done raising rates, they're going to pause them and you're going to eventually cut rates. And that's kind of
right. That's a big turnaround. Yeah. It was got kind of spooky there late October. And you're right. That was actually the pivot and the turn. And we haven't looked back since. And, you know, for some of our listeners saying, I don't get this interest rates being lower, why it's such a big deal. Well, the borrowing costs go down. Some people have home equity lines or credit card rates. And, you know, those type of rates go down. That means more money to do other spending. But the biggest thing I find over time with interest rates that are coming down is less competition in stocks. And a quick example, let's say interest rates went all the way up to 10% in a bank or let's say treasuries. Well, like, I don't nothing to do with the market. I'll take my 10% call today, right? Mm-hmm. Conversely, let's say rates go all the way down to 2%. I'm like, you know what? At 2%, I'll take my chances in stocks. This kind of seesaw battle, so to speak, or not so much a battle, but seesaw between lower rates, higher stocks. Higher right. interest rates we saw in 22. Remember, we were raising rates, trying to slow down inflation, but by doing so, made other instruments as attractive than stocks, that is CDs, money markets, treasuries, and so forth. So that's the seesaw that we see with rates coming down. It helps out stocks because it offers less competition to dollars.
Yeah, I mean, look at rates when they were basically zero in COVID. Right. The market went berserk after the crash and into 2021 and basically created a bubble because rates were so darn low and money was being pumped into people's pockets in the economy.
And that's a good point because 2020, people scratch their head and say, wait, that was an up year in the market? I'm like, yeah, like how did that even happen?
Massive.
I mean, the world was locked, you know, locked down. We were locked down. Everybody's locked down. But yet when you have rates next to zero, like I said, most people, you know, again, when I say most people, not only individual investors, corporations, pension fund managers, mutual fund managers, foreign investment, you say, I'm going to get zero in the money market. Yeah, I'll take my chance to buy some stocks, even if we're not back to opening yet the economy. And again, for a lot of people, scratch their head and said, what? The market was higher in 2020? It was.
Yeah, it seems like an oxymoron or something. It wasn't for a minute there, though. Things were ugly in March and April. When they started the QE, quantitative easing.
Yeah.
And the rate cuts and all that. And here we are.
Macroeconomic. So it looks like we have another we have some more time before the next break for another question.
Sure. So how has the election and other political news started to affect the market? Has it started to affect the market at all?
These are great questions, Connor. I think it's more by sector. And we're going to have to kind of carry more of this conversation after the break. But, you know, seriously, everything that's going on, this almost assassination of a former president to Biden's in, he's out. I mean, definitely caused nervousness in the market. But there are specific sectors that are going to benefit from a Biden victory or someone else other than Biden that step in a Trump victory. And after the break, we'll go by kind of sector by sector. We can read the tea leaves a little bit and how the market's predicting one candidate or the other. And we'll be back right after these messages.
If you're approaching retirement or have recently done so, you're probably realizing that retirement plans can be very different from what you might remember when your parents retired. Things were more simple then, but you put in your years, you received your pension, most likely you have health care, add in Social Security, and all those combined usually made for a comfortable life. But, you know, maybe you could do better. I would suggest you call for Ken Mahoney's book, Not Your Father's Retirement. It's a great resource for long-term planning. To get yours, call 845-371-0101. Today, pensions have been disappearing from companies faster than ever, along with other benefits people could once rely on. Ken's book, Not Your Father's Retirement, addresses this new reality we'll all face eventually. Ken will show you how to plan for your future using today's retirement vehicles, like 401ks and IRAs. Retirement takes more planning and preparation today than any other time in the past, and Ken's book will show you how to get it done right. Call 845-371-0101. The first 20 callers get it for free right now. That's 845-371-0101 to get Ken Mahoney's book, Not Your Father's Retirement.
Welcome back to GPS for Finances. Today's topic, questions and answers by the father and son team. That's right, Ken Mahoney, Connor Mahoney. It's where Generation X meets Gen Z. Now, you just heard my friend Jimmy Fink talk about my book, Not Your Father's Retirement. We want to get into your hands. And oh, Jimmy is a rock star, so listen to what he has to say. Get your book, Not Your Father's Retirement. Here's the phone number once again, 845-371-0101. Pretty easy number to remember, 845-371-0101. We think it's a perfect companion to what we do here every Sunday morning. Sometimes you could join us, sometimes you can't. It's all in the book, Building Chapter by Chapter, 845-371-0101. If you're up early, well, you're the early bird gets the worm. You've heard that expression before. Well, guess what? You can get this book for free. It sells on Amazon and Barnes & Noble for $17.99. But you can call the number right now and get that book for free, 845-371-0101. Of course, I give the Peak Hudson Valley Index Report every morning. You hear me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And on the way home, you hear from Bill Kugel from Mahoney Asset Management talking about the national business news with the indexes, Dow, S&P, NASDAQ did, or maybe what they didn't do, the local Hudson Valley business news, and the Hudson Valley Index that we created for you at home. All that information and more is on our website, MahoneyGPS.com. My TV archived right there. I'm on them almost every week, either Fox Business, CNBC, or Bloomberg. Also, I contribute to a lot of articles with those same companies. Again, a lot of information we pack right there on our website so you can take action, try to simplify this complex financial world for you to understand. That's really what we try to do at Mahoney Asset Management. All this TV gobbledygook, and it's all right there, but we try to simplify it so you can take action. We also have articles on there, everything about the new required minimum distribution, educational information, And our newsletter, we'd love for you to join our growing newsletter list. Okay, so you go to MahoneyGPS.com, go to newsletter. All our archives are there. And you could sign up for a newsletter that comes out every Tuesday night. And it comes out for free. And it kind of keeps you informed of what's happening in the market and what we think may be happening going forward. All that information and more is on our website, MahoneyGPS.com. And right before the break, we're discussing the election, politics, economic cycles lead to market cycles, political cycles. And, you know, we kind of teased everybody right before the break and said, which sectors and what's the tea leaves? And Connor, I'm going to leave that one up to you. I'll give this off to you to tackle this question.
Yeah, I think honestly, crypto has started to move because of Trump. And he's appearing at some event coming up about crypto. He's made some comments about it. Crypto's popping because of some of his comments. We also saw solar stocks get beat up a little bit because the market is probably pricing a Trump win at this point based on polling and different things. As we see it, doesn't say, we're not saying we support or did not support him. It's just from the market's perspective, it's a lot of these solar stocks are getting hurt while the oil stocks are looking pretty prime. I know there's some electric vehicle stocks have been looking quite perky too, because he's in cahoots with Musk and he's going to help clean up some of the regulations around electric vehicles. So the market is trying to tell us something here. As like you said, we're reading the tea leaves as best we can. But that's at least, it's only July and the election's in November. We're starting to see some impact of politics in the market already.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, you know, I know it's November and it's 4 months away, but political cycles, that's like 4 miles away. It's a long runway before we get there. So pretty interesting question. Thank you for that, Connor. Thank you for getting these questions throughout the course of the week. And I'm sure you have some more questions in your mailbag to cover here.
So what has caused the market to pull back a bit from the highs? And does it have anything to do with this big outage?
I don't think so. So I think the pullback was something that's going to happen anyway. We came into beginning of July and seriously, the NASDAQ was up 22-24%, going at a 50% annual return. We know that's a hard thing to do. While at the same time, small company funds get overlooked and were unchanged for the year. So when you have this kind of huge air pocket and that we stretched these, you know, NVIDIA, Microsoft, Apple, all those big winners, and then you start looking at small company funds. Again, it's called the Russell 2000. The Russell had a lot of muscle. So you saw some selling off there. And we like to call that a rotation. Money didn't leave the market. It just went for perhaps a better opportunity because small caps were being down so much. Or not being down, but relative to where NASDAQ was. Now, fast forward, earnings season is in full swing. We heard from the banks. Soon we'll hear from the technology stocks. And I'll tell you, the way it was going, you know, the markets were going parabolic almost. I mean, seriously, I was watching some of these accounts going crazy. And I'm like, you know what? There's going to be some pause. It happens every time. Yeah, I just gut feeling. And you know, Connor, how I get those things. And we did have a pullback. And
the reason why I'm
more optimistic about the earnings season now because we let a little air out of the market. I mean, the way we're running so hot, parabolic. And then you have earnings and it's kind of sell the news. This may set us up for a earnings rally if companies do produce good numbers. You know, I mean, good numbers, not only the second quarter that ended June 30th, but guide the rest of the year positive. We now may see some good upside. So again, it's nice to actually take a little break, have a little breather. The markets needed a breather. There's too much gap between NASDAQ up 24-25%, the Russell 2000 unchanged for the year. And this is how it gets resolved at some point.
Yeah, and it's so crazy. We spoke about this. The market is based around different math algorithms too. And you said the standard deviation of things occurring, it was like the Russell was up a ton in a day and the NASDAQ was down so much. That was a huge rebalancing moment. It hadn't happened
deviation
in so many years.
Yeah. So about 68% of things happen, let's say. Then you go one standard deviation is 13. And when you go out six, it's like kind of once every 20 years. Something like that happens.
We had that event because of the massive discrepancy in those indexes. Just following up on the part of the outage question, it was actually pretty shocking to see the market take it in stride. I think it was just a normal down day Friday. Microsoft was down like 1%. A crowd really got beat up though, down over 10% though, rightfully so.
I'm sorry. Can you explain to our listeners though, they may not be aware of what happened to CrowdStrike and Microsoft on Friday.
So
airlines shut down and banks shut down.
So many businesses rely on Microsoft software, Azure and Microsoft 365 and all this stuff that everyone
cloud,
uses.
Yeah.
Basically it just went down. So any business that uses it or used it, airports, wherever else. Not good, obviously, is the fault of CrowdStrike hospitals too. I heard it was crazy there.
Basically, hey, CrowdStrike, by the way, is an internet security company. Right, they're internet security company. So
CrowdStrike's an internet.
This is not supposed
company.
To happen. I mean, by the name of the title of the company, even. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, faulty security update or faulty update caused all of that, and that was a really big hiccup, of course, and that put their stock down a lot. And Microsoft, obviously, it's bad press for them, but there wasn't a huge reaction in those shares. Yeah, Crowd was down like over 10-12% for the day on that one. Yeah,
that made me lucky. It could have been a lot worse than that. I don't think we have any more time for a question, but gosh, you know, keep compiling throughout the week. Of course, every Sunday we'll be with you. And until next week, we hope you have a happy, healthy, and a prosperous one.
You've been listening to A GPS for Your Finances with Ken and Connor Mahoney. Ken is the president and CEO of Mahoney Asset Management. This is a weekly paid commercial program, and the views, opinions, and advice presented are that of the host and guests, and do not represent any guarantee of results or represent the opinions of the staff and management of 107.1 The Peak or PAML Broadcasting. If you've missed previous editions of A GPS for Your Finances, you can listen to them anytime by visiting 1071thepeak.com. Ken and Connor will answer your questions next week. Just send them an email, ken@mahoneygps.com. Listen for another edition of A GPS for Your Finances next Sunday morning at 7 a.m. right here on 107.1 The Peak.